This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا الحمد لله رب العالمين All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. All praises due to Allah who has guided us to this path and we would not have been able to guide ourselves had not Allah chosen to guide us. All praises due to Allah who has revealed the scripture unto his servant and has made no crookedness therein. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Alhamdulillah, we're blessed with so much guidance. We have no excuse not to live righteous lives because the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly lays out for us what constitutes righteousness, what constitutes good, what constitutes honorable and noble behavior. So we want to look at one jewel from the treasure chest of prophetic wisdom. And that lies in the prophetic saying narrated by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه رواه مسلم. So this version of this hadith is narrated by Imam, is gathered by Imam Muslim in his compilation of prophetic traditions. He relates on the authority of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "Whomsoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him speak well or remain silent. And whosoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him honor his neighbor. And whomsoever believes in Allah in the last day, let him honor his guest." So there's so much that could be said about this particular hadith, this particular prophetic tradition. So we want to approach it in a somewhat unconventional manner and choose a few points from the myriad points that could be made, from the plethora of points that could be made concerning this hadith. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet says, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, whomsoever believes in Allah and the last day, speak well or remain silent. Man kana yu'minu billah wal yawm al-akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. We live in a time where lying has become an epidemic, endemic. To lie is normalized. We tell great lies and small lies, coming and going, as they say, by night and by day. We lie about our feelings. How do you feel? We feel terrible. Oh God, I feel great. It might be a small thing. We tell big lies. We lie to our employer. Why were you late for work? There's a problem with my car. There's no problem with the car. There's a problem with us. Not the car, but we just put it on the car and keep moving. No pun intended. Tell lies to our spouses. Tell lies to our neighbors. We tell lies to our children. We tell lies to our parents. Silence is best. فَلْيُكُلْ خَيْرًا أَلْيَصْمُ. Just don't say anything. Because every word we utter, it's either going to be for us or against us. Every word that we utter is going to be for us or it's going to be against us. We have our, so there are lies of commission. We lie to the boss. I was late because my car wouldn't start. That's a lie of commission. We tell lies of omission. We could have done something, but we didn't do it. And some people will understand, that's understandable, but we misrepresent the truth. So we should commit ourselves to trying to control our tongues. To understand that if we don't have anything good to say, and good is delineated by the Sharia, we could tell a joke to say, wow, to cheer someone up. That's a Shari'i maslaha. That's an interest advanced by Islam. The Prophet told jokes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he wasn't a joker. He wasn't a joker. One example, Imam Ghazali gathers most of these in the Ihya, in Athatul Lisan. A lady came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, can you give me a camel? She had to move something. She needed a big beast. He said, I'll give you a baby camel. She said, no, Rasulullah, I need a camel. I don't need the baby. He said, I'll give you a baby camel. And when he saw her frustration building, he said, every camel is another camel's baby. The oldest one in here is someone's baby. If they're 70, 80 years old, and their mother's still alive, she still calls him boy. He's 80 years old. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should try to speak well or remain silent. We should stop ending the endless stream of text messages. Because what maslaha? Most of it is just wasting someone's time. So we send nonsense and now they're obliged to respond to our nonsense with their nonsense. And we're exchanging nonsensical messages for 20 minutes before we realize, I'm just wasting my time with this nonsense. Cut it off from the beginning. Get off the chat rooms. I've never seen any good come from these chat rooms. I've seen people become enemies. I've seen people stop speaking to each other. I've seen people who normally wouldn't argue with each other, argue with each other. I've never seen any good from most of them. And I'm not trying to get information, but where people just put forth their opinion. And this one bounces his opinion, they respond with their opinion, and then they're wasting their life with this stuff. Allah give us tawfiq. But all of that is speech. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-qalamu ahadu lisanaini, or one of the salaf. Maybe it's not a hadith. Athar. Al-qalamu ahadu lisanaini. The pen is one of two tongues. So we're accountable for what we speak, we're accountable for what we write. And the keyboard is an extension of the pen. So we're going on and on and on. Slandering things, slandering people from the anonymity of our basement, our bedroom, our closet. It's gone. Let our fingers do the walking. And slandering this one. I've seen people say the worst thing about people, Muslims. And then they see them, they smile in their face. But when they're all alone in their basement or their bedroom, they're going crazy. This person is munharif, mubtada', kada wa kada wa kada. Then he sees them in person, ahlan wa sahlan akhi, had bussa ya. Let it go, brothers and sisters. Fi'a dunya sa'a, faj'alha ta'a. This world is but a moment. Fill that moment with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't fill it with rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. One who believes in Allah on the last day, let him honor his neighbor. So we said we approach this somewhat unconventionally. So we've read and we know the lessons of this hadith. We want to introduce a new way to look at it. With modern communications and the interconnectivity of our world, we live in what some people refer to as a global village. You've heard that expression, the global village. And so we have an obligation to honor those we share this global village with. Because what we do, just as in the village, in the old time or in some rural, isolated area today, what one person does affects the other. What we do affects other members of this global village. Our demand for cell phones and our demands for all these electronic devices. I'm guilty, I'm not pontificating as if I'm not guilty myself, but all of this demand is affecting people in places like the Congo. All of our demand for lithium batteries, for our lawnmowers, for our cars, for our cell phones, for all of our iPads and iThis and iThat. All of this demand is leading to people in the Congo digging up a heavy metal as damaging to one's health as lead, cobalt, with their bare hands, and then selling it dirt cheap, and then stripping away the topography from their lands so we can enjoy our devices. We have to be more conscious of our actions and begin to try to reduce our demand. Because most of it is unnecessary demand. Some people, their iPhone 8 is still working perfectly good, but they had to get the 9, 10, the 11, the 12, the 13. Do they have a 14? If they do, that one too. Because I want the whole series. What is your demand for the whole series doing to this world? What is it doing to people in this world? If the 8 is working fine, keep it until it dies. Or with our convenience, we want plastic, everything. Most of you don't have a dog. But people do have dogs. They're walking behind the dog and scooping the poop, putting it in a plastic bag. Instead of taking it in the backyard, bury it or something. But no, we have to, it's convenient. Just put it in, throw it in the garbage, and it's done. But what is that doing to our environment? No, we plastic. By 2050, there'll be more microplastic in the ocean than biological matter. Places like Turkey, do you think it says recycle? There's a recycling plant for this plastic up the street? They pack it up by the ton and ship it to places like China and Singapore and Malaysia. They're not taking it anymore. Now it goes to places like Turkey. And many places in Turkey, an agricultural region like Adana, where I lived in that area, a small percentage is actually recycled, which creates another ecological problem because it's melted down. And you know what happens when you melt plastic. Most of it is thrown away. It drifts into the countryside, and between the wind, the sun, and the variation in temperature, it breaks down. And the microplastic gets in the water. One scientist examined the water outside of Adana in the agricultural, in the fields, said there were more microplastics than you could count in a liter of water. And then this affects our health, this affects our environment, this affects our water. And it illustrates collectively all of the things that we're doing to this planet. It illustrates Allah Ta'ala saying, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That corruption has appeared on the land and sea because of what the hands of humans have brought about. Thus do we give them a taste. We give them, let them see some of the consequences of what they do in order that they will return. Turn away from sin, turn away from excess, turn away from destructive habits. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And this ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. There are many explanations, but reflect on them. Many of the companions say في البر والبحر, in the towns and in the countryside. في الأمصار وفي الرياض. In the town, in the countryside. What, you want to see corruption? We know many of our Muslim countries. You go to a village in the middle of nowhere, and it has a satellite dish on the roof of the adobe house. And the inhabitants inside, some of them, they're watching the same corrupting pornography they're watching in the city, in the countryside. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. So, oh no. I won't say any Muslim country. There's a particular Muslim country is the leading per capita downloader of pornography. That's a fact. ظهر الفساد, or not even that far, just the same idiotic television programs. There are people in Ramadan that watch people pray. That's not idiotic and it's not fasad, but it is. And losing an opportunity for directly connecting with Allah Ta'ala and receiving barakah yourself, and then belittling righteous practices. They'll watch people pray Taraweeh on television and won't go to the masjid themselves. And some people's like entertainment, they're eating popcorn. Wal imam yaqra min surati Maryam. Go pray. Earn the ajr for yourself. But what facilitates that? What facilitates it? In the land, in the cities, in the countryside. We have to develop a consciousness. The Allah Ta'ala told the wives of the Prophet, when they were starting to act like other women, we need more of this, we need more of that. Ya nisa al-nabi, lastunna ka ahadun min al-nisa, in attaqaytunna. O wives of the Prophet, you're not like other women. They might want this or that or the other, but you are the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should want Allah, and you should want the pleasure of your husband, who's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, your consciousness, how you see the world, how you interact with others, what your desires are, they shouldn't be like ordinary people. And we could say this about our ummah. لَسْتُمْ كَأَحَدٌ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالصَّبِيَانِ. You're not like other men, women, and children. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You're the best community raised up to serve humanity. And that ethos of service requires a certain consciousness. It requires us making commitments ordinary people won't make. It requires us looking at the world in ways ordinary people don't look at the world. It requires a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that ordinary people might not be concerned with. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. And so we have to begin to look at these teachings and with an expanded vision. Because where there is no consciousness, then the actions won't change. What was the turning point? And we have to stop here because our time is out. So maybe another occasion we finish the hadith. But before there was the liberation of South Africa due to the organizing and the efforts of the African National Congress, the ANC. There was Steve Biko and the Black Consciousness Movement. There had to be a consciousness that facilitated the quest for liberation. And so what we're saying, as a community, we have to have a consciousness that facilitates us dedicating ourselves to serving humanity. We have to have a consciousness that makes us aware of the role we should be playing in this global village. We have to have a consciousness that helps define for us what it means to be a responsible citizen in that global village. A consciousness that makes us aware of how our actions might affect others that we share this global village with. May Allah give us tawfiq. May Allah open our hearts, impact our hearts. May Allah affect how we see the world. May Allah give us a strong connection to Him. In the taqaytunna, if you are conscious and aware of Allah. May Allah give us tawfiq. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ ولسائر المؤمنين يا قوم استغفروا الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. May Allah give us tawfiq. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات.